بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وموالاه أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا تناجيتم فلا تتناجوا بالإثم والعدوان ومعصية الرسول وتناجوا بالبر والتقوى واتقوا الله الذي إليه تحشرون إنما النجوى من الشيطان ليحزن الذين آمنوا وليس بضارهم شيئا إلا بإذن الله وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كل شيء ينقص إلا الشر فإنه يزاد فيه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على محمد في أول كلامنا اللهم صل على محمد في أوسط كلامنا اللهم صل على محمد في آخر كلامنا. We are living in a different world today. There was a time when we used to ask people the physical address. Now we live in a world where we ask people the email address. Before we used to ask people, we will keep in touch through our telephone. Now we tell people we will keep in touch through the social media. We don't talk to people. It's like somebody said it, my friends will be coming to my house to play on the phones. So they all come to people's house to visit. And even when they come to visit, they are all on their phones. One's on Twitter, one's on social media. And all these different things you get, Allah knows the reality. Islamically, what is the perspective? What are the boundaries? What are the rulings? I will just share with you in the next few minutes. May Allah first of all give me the ability. We need to understand that social media is not the be all and the end all. Today we feel good. I've got so many followers on social media, on my Twitter account. I've got so many likes on my Facebook. And we feel good about it. One scholar recently mentioned, the people in the world will be following you, but don't forget the angels are also following you. Whether Allah is liking it or disliking it, that will make the decision. So, for some people, the life has become such, they don't want to do anything practical, they don't want to do anything physical, all they do is they just put a hadith of the week, a quote of the day, or they just be active on social media and they feel good, I'm doing something. What are you doing? Spreading the words of Islam, alhamdulillah, we should be feeling good about it. But is that the end all, be all? Is that what doctor does the whole day in his surgery? That this is the prescription, just like it, you will get cure for your headache. It's like, you know, one doctor, he needs to do an operation, he needs to do a surgery. So he says, give me 200 likes and the surgery is done. Give me 200 likes. As if we are depending, everything will happen through the social media. Give this 200 likes and Palestine will be liberated. Give this 1,000 likes and Masjid al-Aqsa will be in the hands of the Muslims. Give this 1,000 likes and the angel of Badr will be with you today. Is this... And sometimes it's amazing, if you love Allah, like it. If you love Allah, if you want to show your love to Allah, then like this. Is this what it all depends on? And there are scholars on Facebook, there are scholars on Twitter, many ulama, who we can benefit from. There's the good side of it also. And the reason the scholars are on it, is for a different reason. They are more on it, not just to socialize with the people. They have been given a responsibility which every ummah has been given, every person of the ummah, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, convey from me even if it's a word. So the scholars, Allah has given them knowledge, they have given sacrifice. So now any avenue they get to convey the knowledge, they use it. But today, unfortunately, a person, he gets a little emotional, he gets a little pious, and he puts it on his Facebook. or the dream I had last night. Keep it between you and Allah. Why do you have to tell the world about it? I'm in Path to Piety event today and I'm feeling motivated. Check in, as they say. Check in Allah. Whether you're sitting here, you are listening attentively with the adab of the majlis, of the etiquettes, of the house of Allah. Is it making Allah happy? The world should know about it. They were pious people, they used to say that we hide our good deeds more than we hide our sins. The way we hide our sins, we don't want the world to know. If we are going through a phase where we were boasting our sins, when we feel proud about it, when we don't feel anything, like the Sheikh just before me mentioned, Sahaba, they committed one wrong, they couldn't live with it. They felt filthy, they felt dirty. They said, how can we live while we have disobeyed Allah? And today, unfortunately, many on Facebook, they are proud about it. If this is the case, we need to put an end to it. Allah will forgive anything, but the person who sins openly, Allah says, I will never forgive him. A person commits a sin, Allah covers the sin, Allah hides the sin, because Allah is Sattarul Uyub. Allah puts a cover on the sin. And then this person goes on social media, he goes out and about, he tells people about it. Allah says, I am hiding you, I am doing a favor on you. And you are boasting about it, that you have done something good by making me angry, I will never forgive you. كُلُّ أُمَّتِي مُعَافٍ إِلَّا الْمُجَاهِرُونَ Nabi alayhi salam says, every person of my ummah will be forgiven except the one who sins openly. Then you get the secret private chat rooms where only friends are allowed. And Allah knows what goes on. Allah says regarding the verse I recited before you, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا تَنَاجَيْتُمْ O you who believe, when you are in your secret discussions, فَلَا تَتَنَاجَوْا بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَمَعْصِيَةِ الرَّسُولِ You should never be secretly doing any disobedience of Allah. Otherwise that secret chat will take you to Jahannam. Allah knows everything. What you should be discussing secretly, وَتَنَاجَوْا بِالْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى You need to seek, if you want to discuss really something with your friends, discuss goodness, discuss taqwa, discuss piety. This was one of the things the hypocrites used to do in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to come in the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they used to start whispering things to each other. They used to, the Nabi of Allah is giving a talk, and they are having their own private chats on the side. This used to happen. Like today, same things are happening, the speaker is giving a talk and people are on their phones. Okay, if you are taking notes down, if you are trying to do it for referencing, to you can listen to it again, you can take note of it again, you can follow it up again. Alhamdulillah, that is something very good, but something, a person is on his own chatting, watch the talk of Islam, talk of deen is taking place, sign of hypocrisy. So Almighty Allah said, this is a sign of a hypocrite. The Nabi of Allah is giving a talk, he's giving nasiha, Quran is coming down, he's mentioning ahadith, and then these hypocrites on the side, they are doing their own chats. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ فِي اللَّهِ What are you doing? There have been cases where people of opposite gender have been chatting with each other, only to know that the person they were chatting with was their own father. The daughter was chatting with their own father. The sister was chatting with their own brother. Cases have taken place. One woman committed suicide a while ago. When the mother went inside the room and she saw what had happened, there was a note there. So the note read that there was one person I was chatting online for a while, only to know that that person was my father. How can I be living with such a father? Please, oh my mother, if you get a chance, you also leave him. I can't live with him anymore. This is not life. I've ended my life. Suicide. A person, Allah knows who's on the other side. The same way it is haram to see one another, to chat to one another of the opposite gender, social media is also haram. Okay, if it's necessity, something you have to be done, and it's not anything which is unlawful in Islam, then it is understandable. فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. The ruling of the Quran is straight that according to necessity is fine. But for no reason you are chatting just to make a connection that I've got contact with the other genders in Brazil. I've got contact with the other people in China. Allah knows the reality. The reason the ulama, they are on it, is there are so many people who won't come to the masjid. Like I'm sure the crowd that we have today, there'll be 50 times, 100 times more crowd outside who never come to the masjid. Don't even come to a masjid for Eid. Although the salat of Eid is not even farad. It's sunnah. You can ask the imam if you want. Yet, the biggest crowd we get is not for the farad, it's for the sunnah salah. You just imagine where the ummah has gone to. We have no importance of fara'id, yet we have more importance of the sunnah. So, that is why there's no qadha for it. But there are still people who don't even read the Eid, they've got no connection, they are only Muslim by name. They don't have no other connection. And they are on the social medias. The statistic shows that 80% of the Canadian population are online. And they vary from the age of 14 to 29. Youth. That's all they live on. You meet somebody, brother, you okay? Alhamdulillah. Check me out on Facebook. How are you? Everything okay? Nice meeting you. How can I help you? None of this. Just like the Sheikh mentioned yesterday as well. When the father asked the child, how is it? He said, you can check my Facebook status. As if that's a life. As if that's a... We have lost the moral nature, the how we should be living with each other. We've lost it. We don't know how to talk to the person next to us. How, as a Muslim, how should I meet him? How should I sit with him? What should I say to him? How should I respect my elders? How should I respect the scholars? How should I respect the masajid? We've lost all this. All we know is we can put statuses up as if we are the most pious people on earth. We can put statuses up. We know how to chat online. We know how to tell people, give da'wah online. But sitting in the real world, we've lost the touch. That's the situation today. By no way, I'm not putting you off the social media. I'm saying that use it. But use it in the right way. Use it for the right things. Always have this that nobody will have access to my account, but Allah has access to even that which is in my heart. Even my parents won't know what photos I'm putting on. As if the world wants to know or not. Whether the world wants to know or not, the people still put it on. And the people, just to make them happy, they just put a like on it. But Allah knows what's in my heart. Allah knows everything that's in my account. I may get away from my parents, I may get away from my community, I may get away from the people around me. Can I get away from Allah? So we need to know our boundaries. We need to know. Every time, as I was coming in the flight, in the in-flight magazine I was reading, 1 in 4 people, they regret what they have written on social media. They regret it. I shouldn't have written that. The next day, if I realize that what I wrote yesterday, I shouldn't have written that. What I put on Facebook yesterday, I shouldn't have done that. What I tweeted yesterday, I shouldn't have done it. Think before. I am tweeting. I am putting this status up. I am uploading this. Is Allah happy for me to do this? If Allah asks me what was the reason of this, what answer will I give to Allah? Taqwa. That is piety. Path to piety. It's like we were standing at a traffic light the other day. So I said, can we not just go? There's nobody here. She said, no, there's a camera there. The ticket will come soon. I can just drive off. We are so cognizant of that camera. If we are equally or even more cognizant of Allah watching us, that is taqwa. That camera that is always upon us, flashing, the flash could come any time. That is taqwa, that is piety. By no way Islam has come to take us away from these things. Islam is telling us, go with the times, but live within the boundaries. Don't get carried away. Keep your emotions to yourself. We don't have to announce it to the world as if the world wants to know. You know, 80% of the world don't care what you are feeling. Allah cares more about you than anybody. A person is depressed, he puts his status up, feeling annoyed. Then people ask, anything happen, anything wrong? Then people, a time comes when even people get fed up of it. That, please, we've got our own problems to deal with. You mind your own problems. You keep it to yourself. You solve your own. Even your own parents may call it a day that, no, we can't listen to your problems anymore. It's too much for us. Your own brothers, your own close friends who you thought is close to you. But in reality, Allah is actually telling us, كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا Kafa billahi wakila. You want to talk to somebody? Talk to me. I am waiting for you. Alahal min mustaghfirin faaghfir lah. Every night in the last third of the night, Allah is actually announcing, is there anybody who want to seek forgiveness from me? I can give him forgiveness. Allah is actually looking for somebody to chat with. The youth who have been chatting till 1-2 at night, they are snoring. The pious who went to sleep early, they are rising, they are chatting with their Allah. The real chat room that will take them to Jannah. The real media that will take them all the way to Jannah. May Allah make us from among those. Many youngsters, they go to college, uni. They do the degree. Now it's difficult for them to find a job. So for late at night, they surf the net, trying to locate a job. They come as well. Make dua, I get a nice job. So I always tell the brother, look, I will make dua for you. Inshallah, you also make dua for me. But you will also have to do something. It's not only the dua done. You will also have to do something. You will have to go to sleep early, wake up early, tahajjud time, make dua to Allah. At least even if you get a chance of reading 2 rak'at, read that 2 rak'at, ask Allah for a job. Ask Allah for halal sustenance, and Allah will definitely give you that halal sustenance. Because Allah is announcing, Allah is ready to give you a job. That is the time for job seeking. هَلْ مِن مُسْتَرْزِقٍ فَأَرْزُقَ Allah is actually asking, anybody who wants sustenance, I can give it to him. Islam is not in this world to take our enjoyment away from us. Like I mentioned yesterday, Islam is telling us, enjoy yourself. In a way that you're not only enjoying physically, you're also enjoying spiritually. You're also enjoying spiritually. Your spiritual side of things are also enjoying. And you're not only enjoying in this world, you're also enjoying Jannah. Islam is a solution to the problems. Let me give you one incident. Zayd radiallahu anhu, we also heard this incident, but let us look at it as a different angle today. He's a young boy. He's going somewhere with his mother. He gets kidnapped. He gets sold in Mecca. Khadija radiallahu anha buys him. When she marries Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she gives it as a gift to Nabi alayhi salam. Now the father of Zayd is looking for his son. Where is my son? Where is my son? He's reading couplets. بَكَيْتُ عَلَىٰ زَيْدٍ وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا فَعَلْ أَحَيٌّ فَيُغْجَىٰ أَمْ أَتَىٰ دُونَهُ الْأَجَلْ. When the sun rises, I remember Zayd. When the sun sets, I remember Zayd. Can anybody tell me the location of my Zayd? So somebody told him that we've been for Hajj and we've realized that your son Zayd is somewhere in Makkah by somebody knowing him as Muhammad. So he takes a lot of money, he takes his brother, they go to Makkah. They come to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, we believe our son Zayd is by you. She said, yes. She said, please take anything you want, give us our son back. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look, he's your son, he belongs to you, he's not my son. Although I am looking after him as a son, but in reality he's your biological son. So you have the full right over him. If he wants to go with you, you can take him for free. I don't need anything from you. But if Zayd doesn't want to go with you from his own self, that I don't want you to force Zayd on doing something which he doesn't want to do. So Zayd radiallahu anhu is called. Young boy, maybe 7 or 10 years old. Said, do you know these people? She said, yes, this is my father, this is my uncle. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Zayd, you want to go with them? They are here to take you. You want to go with them? So he said, oh, I'd rather stay with you. So the father of Zayd says, oh Zayd, you are ready to give up a life of freedom, living with your own parents, and you want to continue living as a slave with strangers? Not the exact words, but what Zayd is saying, oh my father, what freedom are you talking about? The freedom I am getting living with this person, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will never get this same freedom anywhere in the world. Today we want to live the life of Quran and Sunnah. Today we want to live the life of Sunnah and we want to find enjoyment in all these medias. Where Allah has kept the real enjoyment, where will we find it? One more incident. Then we, inshallah, we will finish. When we talk about following, living a life of taqwa, when we talk about living a life of piety, when we talk about living a life of sunnah, living a life in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the footsteps of the pious elders, then the youth of today, they think that these people are trying to restrict us. These people are trying to take our enjoyment away. These people are putting us into problems. When in reality, that life of Quran, of following the teachings of Allah, following the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the life of solution, not the life of problem. Almighty Allah mentions, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the Prophet of Allah is the best example for you. But if you look at the context of this ayah, the surah which this ayah is in, Allah has mentioned this surah in Surah Al-Ahzab, 21st juz of the Quran. Allah is mentioning the story of Ahzab, where the trench were dug around Medina. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself participated in digging the trenches. And the whole united nation were against Islam. They had enemies from out of Medina, and they also had the Banu Qurayza who had betrayed them and who were also against them. So now they were all surrounded. The Quran says people's heart was at their throat. And they said, what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen? Muslims are going to die. Enemies are coming from all over the place. Somebody mentioned it so beautifully. The world have got together to destroy Islam and Muslims, yet Islam is growing by the day. The world has got together to destroy Islam and Muslims, yet Islam is growing by the day. Who can put an end to the candle of Allah? وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah will definitely increase His light, no matter how hard the enemies try. Allah will make sure Islam prevails. Allah will make sure Islam remains. We need to ask ourselves, am I remaining a Muslim? Many people are in the world are crying. Muslims are suffering. Who's crying? Islam is suffering. The day we miss our Fajr Salah, the day we disobey Allah, the day we don't recite Quran, we have taken Islam away from us. Who's crying for this reason? So, Allah is mentioning the story of Ahzab, when the trenches were dug. Allah is mentioning the incident. In the middle of the incident, Allah puts this ayah. Not in the beginning of the incident, not at the end, but right in the middle of the incident, Allah puts this ayah. It's like a person is mentioning a story, and then in the middle he says, look, let me put one point, and then he continues the story. Why did Allah use this sequence? Allah could have put this ayah, لَقَدْ كَانَ نَقُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ before the story. Allah could have put it after the story, but Allah has put this right in the middle of the story. Before Allah is saying, يَحْسَبُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ لَمْ يَذْهَبُوا. Allah is mentioning Ahzab. After the ayah, Allah is mentioning, وَلَمَّا رَأَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ. So the whole sequence is going on the story of Ahzab, and in the middle Allah fits this ayah in. A person, he came to Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu and he said, Oh Hudhayfa, sahibtum Rasulullah, you have got the opportunity of being a companion of Nabi alayhi salam. You perform salah behind him. But let me tell you one thing. You did not look after him how he should have been looked after. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, what do you mean we didn't look after him? She said, if the Prophet of Allah was alive today, this was a person who didn't see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he saw Sahaba, Tabi'in, he's saying this. He said, if the Prophet of Allah was alive today, or if I was in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I wouldn't have let him walk on this earth. I would have lifted him up and make him walk on my shoulders. You didn't look after him. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, okay, talk is cheap. Talk is free. Tweeting is easy. Doing the job is difficult. When the question is only meeting, eating, and seating, everybody's there. I need to attend a meeting, brother. I can't make it. We need to go to a meeting. Everybody's there. But when the time comes to do the real job, the real work, the actual physical task, then one person got a headache, one person got a stomachache, one person needs to go emergency to the hospital, one person needs to take his parents to the hospital, one person got a funeral in the family. At the end of the day, only one or two people do the full job. But meeting, everybody is there. No bills to pay. The tongue is just flowing. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, you are just talking. Ask us. We actually walked it. Let me tell you one incident. You are telling that you would have lifted the Nabi of Allah on your shoulders. Let me tell you one thing. Then you tell me what you would have done. It was the night of Ahzab. You know, Allah is mentioning Ahzab. Then in the middle, Allah puts this ayah. He said, it was the night of Ahzab. And it was so cold in Medina that in my entire life that I have lived in Medina, I never felt cold as much as I felt cold on that night. And alhamdulillah, today we feel cold in Canada, and the Canadian cold is freeze, frost, ice is known. But alhamdulillah, we've got the facilities, we've got the heating, we've got the warm water, we've got the blankets, we've got the jerseys. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, most of the Sahaba didn't even have one full cloth to cover the body. That was the situation. One cloth to cover the body. Some Sahaba actually dug a little hole, they went in just to feel a bit warm. Shivering. Not only that, it was so dark, we couldn't even work out our own fingers. No lightning at all. So, cold, dark. And on top of that, he says, we were so hungry, we couldn't even make ourselves stand properly. In order to stand properly, we had to tie some stones. We were hungry for days. And when we came to complain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, look at our condition, look where we are going today. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he lifted his shirt, he had two stones. This is also the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes we should just spend a day hungry with one or two stones. Spend a few hours just to get a feeling how my Prophet must have felt. How, what he must have gone through. May Allah give us understanding. We are very conscious about the easy sunnah. Eating sunnah. Sleeping sunnah. When somebody says, brother, you are eating too much, or it's sunnah. You shouldn't be eating too many chocolates. The Prophet of Allah used to love chocolate, sweet things. So we like these sunnah. But the difficult ones, the hard ones, we say, oh, they were different. Their story is different. We can never be like them. Eating, sleeping, we can be like them. Difficult things, we can't be like them. You know, when a person sees a rich person, he's very wealthy, then we say, he thinks he's the man. Give me a few years, I'll show him who's the man here. He thinks he's got a good car. Give me a few years, 5 years, 10 years, then I'll show him. He thinks he's got a good house. I'll show him. Give me a few years as well. I'll put him behind. But when it comes to deen, when it comes to religion, when it comes to practicing religion, then we say, Sahaba were different. We can never be like them. Their story was different. Wealth-wise, we can beat anybody. To buy a good car, we can beat anybody. To have a good house, we can beat anybody. But when it comes to deen, we say we should be moderate. We shouldn't become too extreme. And amazing, the word moderate only fits in when it comes to religion. It's nowhere mentioned in social media, it's nowhere mentioned in entertainment, it's nowhere mentioned in eating. You will never find somebody says, I'm a moderate eater. You'll never say, I'm a moderate sleeper. I'm very moderate on social media. No. Only religion he's mentioning, I'm a moderate Muslim. Only when it comes to Islam, only when it comes to following deen, that's the only time they remember the word moderate. Is that not the case today? May Allah give us understanding. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, everything else they were moderate when it came to deen, when it came to heading towards Jannah, when it came to piety, they were the best. There was nothing known there as moderate. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ Allah says, run towards it. Beat one another. ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا Remember Allah excessively, not moderately, كَثِيرًا, excessively. So, he said it was the night, hunger, darkness, cold. And the Prophet of Allah made the announcement, مَنْ يَذْهَبْ فَيَأْتِينِي بِخَبْرِهِمْ جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ رَفِيقِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ Is there anybody who will go to the enemy's camp and give us an update of what they are planning? Because of his action at this time, in this hunger, in this darkness, in this cold weather, due to this immense sacrifice, Allah will make him my companion in Jannah. Nobody stood up. Not because they never wanted to stand up, because they were so weak, so hungry, they were shivering so much, they just couldn't make themselves stand up. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were all sitting in a line. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, he said, who is this? So the Sahabi said, this is, I am this, O Prophet of Allah. Then he came to the next Sahabi, he said, who is this? So he said, I am so and so, O Prophet of Allah. Then Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, then he said, he came to me. He said, who is this? He said, I am Hudhayfa. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Qum, stand up. Go to the enemy's camp. And give me an update of what they are planning. Don't do anything on the way. Just come straight back to me. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, because it was a direct commandment, I couldn't say no. I could have said, oh, Prophet of Allah, but I haven't eaten anything. Look how much I'm shivering. Look how my condition, how am I going to walk? It's so dark. But no. Without questions, I took the task on. May Allah give us that iman. Without question, we'll start living a life of Quran and Sunnah. Without question. When it comes to eating, then we're not so particular. When it comes to doing some good deed, is it sunnah? Is it wajib? Is it mustahab? Is it... We like to be very particular. For me doing something, it's not going to become farad. If I do, although it's not farad, but it's sunnah, but if I make it a habit of doing it all my life, it's never going to become farad. The Prophet of Allah left it sometime, fearing that it may become farad. His lifestyle was sharia. My lifestyle is not sharia, I need to follow the sharia. He left it having mercy on us. We need to do it so we can be with him in Jannah. So let me just finish the incident. So I started walking. Look how when somebody takes the task on of following the lifestyle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following deen, living a life of obedience, how Allah takes problems away from him. So he said, as soon as I started walking, I started feeling warm. Allah took cold away from me. The shiver went away. Divinely, Allah heated me up. Today we are looking for heating, seat heating, floor heating, radiators. He said, divinely Allah heated me up. Everybody around me was shivering. I couldn't feel anything. As if I started feeling warm. Today we're missing, how is it possible? You know, everybody around him was shivering and he's feeling warm all of a sudden. How is that possible? Doesn't make sense. Just to give an example, otherwise Allah, until we don't live a life of that, we can never taste the reality. Until we never taste chicken, how do we know what chicken tastes like? We need to taste it in order to understand it. If we haven't lived the life of that, how can we get a understanding of it? But just to give an example, sometimes, you know, there's traffic and people are frustrated and they are getting depressed. And sometimes if it's summertime, they are sweating and they're just stuck in traffic for sometimes hours. And then all of a sudden you get a state car, some mayor of the area, he is coming, and then you get a flashing car in front, flashing car at the back, and they make space and he's looming through. He doesn't feel any of the traffic. People around him are sweating, depressed, confused, frustrated. And the flashing car, flashing front, flashing behind, they're just looming through. They're not feeling any of the traffic. Says Allah just warmed me up in the middle of everything. And as I started walking, Allah made hunger away from me. Allah satiated me divinely. It's not the food that fills the person up. It's Allah that fills the person up. If a person has this iman, if a person has this belief that only after I eat I will be filled up, that could be a form of shirk, as if he's believing that that food is filling him, not Allah. That is why Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahimahullah used to say that a person sometimes when he makes intention for food, then he says, I am eating this, so this will give me strength, then I can do the work of deen. I can obey Allah. They say a person should never make this kind of intention as if he believes that the strength of doing the obedience of Allah depends on that food. He said he should make an intention when he's eating, oh Allah, I am eating this food because it is your command that I need to eat. So I am eating. The strength will not come from this food. You will give me the strength from which I will obey you. May Allah grant us understanding. And sometimes little things. But what deep understanding Allah gave to our elders. Deep knowledge. We can't imagine where their minds were. Today we are just... We want to visualize everything. And we have lost the vision of life. Take out the television. You know, the power of thinking, the power of understanding things, faham. We are losing it. Because we want to see everything in front of us. Can you give me a PowerPoint presentation? It makes things much more easier. Brother, just understand it in your mind. It's good that Allah has said that Jannah is something which is unimaginable, otherwise by now there would have been a PowerPoint presentation of Jannah also. Allah says, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَّا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُّنْ. Nobody knows about it, only Allah knows. So let me, my time is nearly up. Well, it's already up, but started late, so we'll maybe have to take a few more minutes extra. Let me just quickly finish the incident off. So, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, Allah took hunger away from me. And Allah gave me a divine headlight that was showing me the road. So all his problems are solved now. The cold is gone away. He's feeling satiated. And he's got a divine headlight that is guiding him in the dark road. He goes there, he looks at the update. I'm trying to be brief. And then he sees that the enemies have gone frustrated and they want to leave the area. And then on his way back, he sees the angels coming down. And the angels, they say that, give your prophet the good news that Allah has taken care of the enemies. So he comes back, and the Nabi of Allah is performing salah. So he sits down next to him. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam finishes the salah, then he gives him the update of what had happened, what they were planning, the enemies. The Nabi of Allah says, tonight you will sleep next to me here. And the Prophet of Allah put his shawl down and I slept on it. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, by Allah, people around me, the other people, they couldn't sleep because they were hungry. It was so cold, they were shivering, they couldn't sleep properly. But wallah, that was the best ever sleep in my life. Best sleep. Until the Nabi of Allah himself had to wake me up for Fajr. Qum ya Nauman, oh the sleepy one, how much you going to sleep? Now it's time to wake up. We are looking for enjoyment. We are looking for peace of mind. We are looking for excitement. We are looking for entertainment. Allah has placed it in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obedience is in piety. Obedience, piety, all these are the ways of enjoyment. Not only enjoyment in this world, also the enjoyment of Jannah. May Almighty Allah first of all give me the ability, give all of us the ability. Ameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala rasulina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم